Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Jenny, I'm back in New York. Our in-person recordings and hangouts are over. We are back on Zoom.
Yeah, this is pretty depressing. Not for you. I know you're happy to be back home.
It's funny. With my New York friends, I'm like, guys, I'm fucking happy I'm here. Like, this is my city. This is where I belong. And then every time I talk to my friends in LA, I'm like, oh, hey. No, I miss you. And LA is great. Man, I was there for 3 months, man. It's a long time.
Damn, I went by fast.
It went by so fast, yet so slow. Like, I think about my first week there where I had to move 4 times because I had a stalker, and about my airbags being stolen and all that. And it feels like ages ago because I personally matured and aged like 12 years from that experience. You know what I love about everyone I know in LA is that we make a bunch of plans and then it ends up being like 1/10 of what we planned. And me and you, Jenny, we were like, oh my God, I can't wait. We're going to be able to record literally every day. We're going to shoot maybe 17,000 sketches. I'd say maybe 17,000 sketches. And then we're just going to like have brunch every other day. And then what ended up happening is that we recorded in person once.
Yeah. The Latino Comics Expo. And we did a live podcast.
That was the one time we recorded in the same room. And it was the busiest, loudest room I had ever been in since before the pandemic. You picked me up in a little orange car. And then you were like, we're going to go to the Latino Comics Expo. And I was like, okay, great. Like, how far is it? And you were like, an hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, what? How is it this far? But we talked the whole way. I wish we had recorded our car ride there.
Yeah.
Because it was, we talked nonstop. There wasn't even like awkward silences or purposeful silences. We just talked nonstop for an hour and 15 minutes to the point that when we got there, we were like, we're done.
We recorded an entire podcast and a half.
Do you remember when we arrived to the expo, we were told to park in a place where it was speakers, and we told the security guy like, hey, yeah, we're supposed to park in this parking spot. And he looked at us and he's like, this is for speakers. And we were like, yeah, no, we know, we're in there, we're speaking there. And he looked at us incredulously.
Yeah.
And
dude,
I couldn't help myself. And I was like, sir, why are you looking at us incredulously? And he's like, mm-hmm. And then he let us park because he was like, there's no way these bitches are talking at this Latino Comics Expo. And we told Kevin, our producer, and Kevin got angry. Kevin got like more flustered than we did. And he went and he grabbed our poster and was like, sir, look at them. Do you see that they're performing here? And by that point, the guy had probably forgotten. And he was like, yeah, okay, dude, just relax.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I didn't see it so much as that we look too white to be Latina. Because I'm so used to the whole, you're not geeky enough. You're not like a real nerd. What are you doing here? Especially from dudes. So I took it more as, you're right. You two don't look like nerds at all. Why are you at a comics expo? So it's funny how you took it as like him thinking we were not Latinas.
And you took it as we're not nerdy enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think about it.
You have such a Miami accent, and then your name is Jenny Lorenzo. But then I was like, excuse me, sir, can we park here? My name is Houseman. I'm here to talk. And I guess you might be right. I think he might have been like, you're not dressed up in any way.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then every person we spoke to looked like they are supposed to be at a comics expo. They just looked like they wrote comics, they consumed comics, they were like comics icons, and we looked like we were driving to Ann Taylor Loft and took the wrong exit. So
okay, well, I was wearing a Marvel shirt and like I had trencitas and like my geeky jewelry. I mean, again, I feel like since I was a kid, I always had an issue with people not believing me. That's what I felt like. I'm like, yeah, we're speaking here, and I'm staring through his eyeballs, and he's looking at us like, you're lying. Like, I always feel like people think I'm lying.
Well, and I was really nervous because this had been my first Comic Expo. I'd never been to Comic-Con. And I'm going to Comic-Con in July.
Mm-hmm.
So I had never been to any of these events. All I had seen were like pictures online of people dressed up and people in line and people doing, I don't know, Spider-Man moves. So I called you before you picked me up and I was like, how the fuck do I dress for one of these things? I don't even know what I'm doing. And I was a little nervous. I was a little like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't really belong here. I don't know much about comics. Even though I had write a cartoon about superheroes, like I don't really know what I'm doing here. I felt overwhelmed. But after the conversations we had, it really felt like we had way more in common with these artists than I had ever expected.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a different medium, you know?
Because a lot of them were trailblazers in their medium, and they...
Oh, my God. Are you calling us trailblazers, Jenny?
Yes. Oh, I mean, that's technically what we were, Joanna. And I know it's hard to, like, think about, but we were some of the first people creating culturally specific content for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, us at Flama, Me Too, Pero Like, BuzzFeed, you know? And including other, like, influencers, like, standalone influencers and content creators who had their own channels at the time. We were the first.
Yeah.
And why did we do it, right? It was very similar to why these artists were trailblazers in their own medium within comics, because there wasn't any representation.
Yeah, and one of my favorite conversations we had was with the Hernandez brothers.
Yes.
So we talked to Gilbert and Jaime Hernandez, and them along with their brother Mario created a very, very influential series called Love and Rockets. And it was one of the first comic books in this alternative comic movement of the 1980s, which drew a lot of influences from specifically Mexican-American culture, new wave, rock music, and like the punk rock music in the 70s, and just this really hardcore sense of what Los Angeles was. So they created comics based off their own life and their own cultural experience, which the backdrop of Superman and Spider-Man and Catwoman and all this stuff, they came out with their thing that was so unapologetically them that they became one of the most influential group in comics. And we had the chance to talk to them. Like, my friends who are into comics were freaking out.
Yeah, they're the OG. They're freaking iconic. When I posted a photo of the event, so many people, fellow nerds, they're like, oh my God, the Hernandez brothers, mm-hmm. Love and Rockets, fuck yeah!
And what I particularly resonated with was like the characters are very much like Latinas, like female Latinas. And the Hernandez brothers never went into like these archetypes and stereotypes of what a woman is on the pages of a comic book, which is something that I sort of just assumed, right? I assumed comic books had like just sexy women in skimpy outfits and that was it, which is, that is an incorrect assumption. The Hernandez brothers are an example of many comics that represent women as rich and profound human beings with messy contradictions and ambivalence and complex. But the Hernandez brothers have always, since the beginning, since the 80s, have always had progressive representations of race, of gender and sexuality, even by today's standards. They, as you said, were trailblazers. They created this alt Latino movement that is so iconic in comics now. And, you know, I think specifically the fact that they're Mexican American really influences their art.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mexican culture, Mayan culture, the culture of the gods, the culture of there, it is so perfectly united with what we see explored in these comics. This sort of magical realism we see in Latin America, we see very perfectly exemplified in these comics, this Mexican American comics.
Man, they made a massive impact. I was nervous at first to interview them because they came off initially like very quiet and reserved. And I'm like, oh man, do they want to be on this podcast?
Yeah, they were so sweet.
But then I'm like, okay, Jenny, don't take it personally. They're introverts. A lot of artists are introverted. So I had to like put that aside. I'm like, he's not annoyed by you. He's just an artist.
Well, we're very excited to share the conversation we had with them. Bear in mind, we did this in the corner of an incredibly loud convention. I don't know how we managed to do this.
I don't know how we did it.
But we did it.
So please enjoy our interview with the Hernandez brothers.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
All right, well, first of all, welcome to Hyphenated. All right. Okay, we have two legends sitting with us right now. I'm a little nervous. My hands are sweating. We have Jaime and Gilbert Hernandez, the Hernandez brothers, also known as Los Bros Hernandez. You guys have been in the business since the 80s, right? You guys have been making Latino comics for many years. How did you guys start out? What was the thing that made you guys say, this is what we want to do?
I'll just say, I always liked comics, you know, growing up, and we liked drawing them and copying them. And but we never stopped. So we got so advanced to the point we could put out a comic book. Not too slick, just, you know, our own little comic book. And to be original, the best way to be original is be yourself.
Yes.
And that's what it was. We were up against everything, right. Marvel, DC, all the comics and this and that. But it was a time to change, because Marvel, DC stuff started pretty much to falter. Just the business started to get weird. Mm-hmm. So we just, on our own, like the old undergrounds, we just started to make our own comics.
Yeah.
And to be original, we decided to be ourselves. So let's make the characters Latinos. Because nobody knows all the great stuff about growing up being Latino. You know, like, you know, just the way that families connect, friends, the way we hang out, the way we party, the way we, you know, take care of our kids was our way.
Yes.
So that has never been seen. It's all gangsters or whatever, you know, whatever, drugs, whatever, you know, that's that. But there's also like, hey, there's lots of great stories about just being a Latino growing up and how we do it. Our flavor of doing it, you know?
Absolutely.
So that was pretty much the reason. Simple ego, simple, you know, just simple, like, we want to do that. Yeah, we just want to do it.
Well, you had to mine from your own experience, right?
Sure. And this was also 1981, and most things on TV, even movies and cartoons, didn't have Latino. So in a way, it was kind of easy to just do comics about it, and people were like, whoa, I've never seen this before. And it's like, you never been to Southern California before? There's lots of us around here, you know? But it's like normal to us, but we realized, oh, nobody knows about this little world here.
No.
You know, at the time.
You know? I heard that your mom got you into... Yes. Comics? That is awesome.
Yeah, our mom read comics in the 1940s.
That's...
Yeah.
What?
So it was fun. Our older brother Mario is 4 years older than us. So when he was a little kid, she just said, you want to read some of these? I used to read these when I was a kid.
Huh.
She just handed him some comics just to, you know, entertain him, you know. And he became really interested, almost addicted to them. So he started collecting them. And I came along 4 years later, and it was just comics in the house. And I liked them, too. And then she encouraged it. She thought it was fine that we read these. And Jaime came. Jaime came and took over. So.
Yes, comics.
And Jaime came and I tore him up because I was two. But that's true.
You know, the little kid tearing up face.
There, you made your own comic. You like mixed it all together and told your own story. And were you mostly interested in art off the bat, or was it automatically a combo of writing and art?
It was a combination. It was just, we like drawing. And then these older guys started to say, I want to draw my own comics. And I was a little kid going, me too, me too. And then they would close their bedroom door, you know. And so, it was just a thing that we just liked drawing. We just took to it. It was kind of like instead of putting us in front of the TV to shut us up, they would give us paper and crayons and go.
Do it.
Yeah.
And we liked it.
Yeah, you liked it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But the part about us having to shut us up was just because there's, you know, four and then five boys running maniacs through the house.
Yeah.
In and out of the screen door. Slam, 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 bam, 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 wham, 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 I got hurt, wham, 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 man, stop beating them, you know, this and that. Oh, you're in trouble. You know, that kind of stuff was just constant with a lot of energy. So it was like, our dad was like, okay, just give him this paper and this crayons. And draw.
Just do it.
Yeah, just draw.
That was the way back then. I would draw a lot when I was a kid too, because my widow in Cuba was an artist.
Uh-huh.
So that was like instilled in me.
Yeah.
Which is why I look up to you guys so much. And I have a lot of friends who are starting, you know,
just started in Latino comics as well, and like they love you guys. So that's why I was like, they're gonna hate me, but it's fine. Because you paved the way for so, like, do you feel that? Do you feel that you've helped open the door for other Latino comic creators?
I'm, in a way I do, but then I was like, oh, didn't you guys feel this way too? You know, I was just surprised that we were the only comic around for a while.
Yeah,
you know,
well, yeah.
Before it started to grow. But I was just like, don't we all live like this? Well, I guess not. So took advantage and go, yeah, our comic is the one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then we, you know, the door was open like, okay, we can do Latinos. Nobody knows Latinos in comics. We know, hey, let's make the women the main characters.
Right, because the main character, like women are portrayed not as, you know, extras or as the sexy.
Well, they are.
They're always sexy. They're always sexy, but they're also very smart and at the center of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What made you guys... I mean, it's weird to ask, like, what made you guys want to portray women well?
Yes. It's a valid question.
Well, one of the answers is that we grew up with our mom and a grandma in the house, and my mom had a bunch of sisters where they all lived in Oxford in the same town. And so we saw the Theos were sitting back, you know, kind of being the patriarchs, but that was it. Yeah. And while the women were running around doing all the,
my God, it's like
getting everything done.
Yeah.
Just doing all this stuff. So that's what we saw as normal. It wasn't, you know, and part of the reason for me actually is that I couldn't draw women that well when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I could just draw goofy guys or superheroes or whatever, but I couldn't draw women. They always looked like hunchbacks or you know, like, I don't know, football players. And then I just learned to draw delicately from like looking at, like, say, an Archie comic. Oh. I'd look at Betty and Veronica and the way the artists, because the artists were actually very good in some of those Archie comics. So I kind of learned how to make more delicate, you know, physicality, but still be present, you know, to still be present though. And that was it for me. So it just got to a point where, like, okay, I'm writing these stories. And instead of, like you said, instead of just the prop of the woman character, it's like, well, let's just have her do all this stuff. My mom did it.
I know.
You know, my aunts did.
And a lot of Latinos can relate to that.
There's no reason for us not to do it.
Yeah.
And so it just became an indulgence, really. We just like the women characters and putting all the important things into their lives.
I love
my gosh. Yeah, because I struggled a lot as a kid. In the 90s, where, again, a lot of what we saw on TV, specifically relating to superheroes, was not very female forward or Latino. And so I was always wanting to play with the boys.
Sure.
And they'd be like, you're a girl. And I feel like that's finally changing because there's more portrayal.
Yes, yes.
A lot of these are going to television as well. More people are reading comics again. I feel that that's the case. And so young boys are now looking up to female superheroes and characters in these stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unlike my childhood.
it was a hard climb. But
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for you guys, like... the graphic novel, what makes it easy about it to depict difficult things and also be so personal in terms of telling a story? Why is this form of art something that you wanted, other than the fact that, you know, you like drawing, you like telling stories? Why do you think people fall into this art form? What is it about this art form that people are able to tackle difficult topics and get so personal with them?
Yeah. I think because you can, because comic, the range of comics can go from top of the Marvel line and you get famous and make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then there's a kid drawing a little mini comic, mm-hmm. you know. And they did it, and they went to Kinko's, and they did it, published it themselves.
Yeah.
And so it just, something very personal about that when you're in total control.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to go to the big guy, you know. Yeah, the big companies are all about licensed characters, which can be fun for some artists.
Yeah.
But that's their limit. They want to do that kind of material with heavy editorial control, you know, heavy direction for their stories, and that's fine for people who want to do that.
luckily, we were part of the introduction of indie comics, which was an extension of the old underground comics. But the old underground comics were about hippie drugs and shocking people. But the idea of indie comics was more like personal stories. It was more about one of the pioneers of indie comics was American Splendor by Harvey Pekar.
Okay.
He just wanted to make comic books based on the background of underground comics. This is before 11 Rockets. And then he wanted to just do personal stories because why can't, you know, he felt the same way. I think my life is interesting enough for a comic book. His stories are different. They're very just, you know, down to earth stories about his life in Cleveland. But when it came to 11 Rockets coming out, it was, look at the timing, it snowballed. There's other artists that wanted to do their own personal stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were going to do Palomar. They were going to do Maggie stories. They're going to do their own thing. And that was good because that would mean a wider scope of what was coming out. And so we were part of that, and it snowballed in the 80s. So it's great that the indie scene just exploded. And you can go there. You don't want to be controlled by editors and all that stuff. You want to do it. You have a way to do it and be personal.
Yeah. It's interesting because the way you describe the graphic novel is kind of like how I saw YouTube coming out as a comedian. Where I'm like, I don't want an executive telling me I don't look at this enough to be a Latina, or my jokes are too this, or that Spanglish doesn't work. I'm just going to freaking do it myself and I'm going to upload it.
But obviously, you did it.
And in the 80s, it's like, all right, I'm going to go to Kinko's. I'm going to print this out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make my art and no one can tell me I can't.
Yeah.
See, we do have something in common.
There you go.
There you go. We do.
But it's good. You have to do that. You have to pave the way sometimes. Yeah. If you don't see yourself represented, then do it.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah.
Somehow, right? There's always a way. And I know that's why it's very inspirational to hear your story, because hopefully there are some up-and-coming creators listening.
That's true. That's always important. We like the fact that so many young people go, I never read your comics, but this is great. I didn't know you could make comics like this. So
yeah,
it's great.
Because I don't want them to just think, oh, Marvel, you know. They can do this.
Mm-hmm,
they can tell their own stories through this medium.
Sure.
And that's maybe why you guys felt alone at first in the 80s when you first started, because I'm sure there were plenty of other people like you guys who wanted to see this.
Yeah.
But didn't know how or didn't think they could.
They couldn't make the connection. Right, right.
And it happens a lot.
That's why it's great to be out there. You got to be out there.
Yeah, the visibility.
Well, we're incredibly honored to have you on the show. And before we let you go to your fans,
all three of them, and two of them are here. I'm kidding.
All my friends are here. Yeah.
What advice do you have for any creative out there right now?
When people ask me, I always go, "Huh?" You know, I can't think of anything. But I think what we were just talking about is you want to tell your story, you can do that thing almost for free. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just tell your story, no one to tell you not to do it. Like I said, go to Kinko's and make your own little comic. If you don't want to make a comic, fine. If you want to do this for yourself or whatever, or let's say you're just an artist and you want to be matched up with a writer, that's all, you can also do that.
Yes.
You know, and I just say there's so many ways to get there and to just please yourself, if anything, you know.
And what you want to do is just encourage them to continue. A lot of people get disillusioned, and it's not just because nobody is reading your comics, it's because you get tired. You get tired of like, what am I doing this for? What?
Oh my God,
we were just talking about this in the car on the way here.
You just second guess yourself constantly. So we want to just push them through that. They're going to feel that. We felt that. You're going to feel it, but you still do it. You still move. And even if you make mistakes, we made tons of mistakes in there. And hopefully nobody noticed.
A lot of times people don't.
They don't sometimes. They go, well, that was my favorite story. I go, that was terrible. I had to cut it up and paste it on the back. Yeah. But so it's cool. But you can't quit. I mean, we're not here for 40 years because we quit.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
So. Exactly. And they say,
if it means, I'm saying, if it really means something. Sometimes people have something to say for a little while and they're done. That's fine. But if you want to keep going, if you really want to make an impact, you have to last.
I always say to pursue the arts, you got to be a little bit delusional in your love for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep, that's the secret.
Aquí están las locas.
You know? There you go. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Oh, this has been a pleasure.
It really is wonderful. Really, really wonderful to have you here. Muchas gracias. Oh my God, this is amazing. Really.
I loved seeing how the Hernandez brothers is like trajectory. I could see our trajectory sort of mapped onto it, although completely different forms of art. You know, they just started out grassroots. They were printing stuff at like Kinko's and just like, I don't know, they just were making art for themselves and then figuring out ways to disseminate it. And that's sort of what we did on YouTube. We had no one telling us no, yes, editing us, telling us that, oh, why don't we change this character? Why don't you do this? We were just creating stuff. And it, I think that is such an important takeaway for anyone that is doing any type of art, which is just do your pure form of what you want to do and find ways to get eyeballs on it. And we were really lucky to have a platform like YouTube, because I feel like, you know, these comics were like the original YouTube. They were, you know, they casted it. They would write it. They'd draw it. They'd be the makeup artists, the costume designers. Mm-hmm. They'd do the whole shindig.
Yeah. And the biggest takeaway from this is you can pave your own path.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a waiting game. No matter what medium of art you're in, it's a waiting game. But if I never decided to put myself on camera and make YouTube videos, first of all, I wouldn't even be here with you in this moment, because it all started in my bedroom, just like how it started in their bedroom, living room, garage, you know, how a lot of musicians start, how a lot of artists start. And so for me, if I didn't decide in 2011, you know what, I'm gonna start making YouTube videos out of my bedroom in Huachete, Miami, I wouldn't have moved to LA. I wouldn't have gotten a job at BuzzFeed. I wouldn't have created Betalike. Then through Betalike, I wouldn't have known what Flama was, and I wouldn't have gained your respect as a fellow creator, because you wouldn't know who the fuck I am, because I wouldn't be making videos. And my entire life thus far has been due to the fact that I made that decision back then, just to put myself out there. And it's similar to their story of like, we're going to do this ourselves. And I know that unless you hear their story, it just looks like they were lucky or they had it easy and you just see the success. But I think that's why I loved interviewing them, because it's so important for people, for aspiring artists of all kinds, to hear these stories so they can realize, oh shit, I can do it too then.
They can do it too, and it's just a hustle.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it's they really wanted to do this art for themselves. They weren't doing it for Marvel. They weren't doing it for anyone other than themselves. They wanted to do it because they wanted to see it. And then they did it, and then they hustled. And because it was so uniquely them, it was so uniquely from their perspective, from the growing up with their mom, from growing up in LA, from having brothers, from having a lot of strong female characters and women in their lives, this came out. It was so uniquely them, and I think that's what makes them so remarkable, is that they were unafraid to be uniquely themselves in their art.
Yes. Similarly, that's how I feel about this podcast. You know, we're doing it for ourselves, but we're also doing it for the listener, for our audience. And so because we care about you guys so much, our listeners, we would love to know what it is about this podcast that you like, but also we're open to criticism. What is it that you don't like? What are some future episodes that you would love to hear topic-wise? Is there something we haven't covered that you've been dying to hear us cover and discuss? And it could be serious or it could be absolutely asinine. So yeah, let us know. If you want to drop the email, Joanna, because I don't remember it in this
moment. You never remember the email. It is hyphenated@pitaya.fm.
Hey, there we go.